الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر، كلا سوف تعلمون، ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم، ثم لترونها عين اليقين، ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on this most precious gift of Iman. The more we contemplate on this magnificent favor, the more we realize that we can never ever fulfill the rights of shukr for this massive favor that guarantees a person contentment, peace, success in this dunya, and is a surety for eternal success in the hereafter, a never-ending life. We should never take this iman for granted or be complacent about it. Firstly, acknowledge from our hearts it is only from Allah. And for that matter, any ni'mah, any favor, even a blink of an eye, or one breath that we take, it is exclusively and solely from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala says that whatever favor you enjoy, no matter how minute it may be, it is only from Allah Azza wa Jal. So as far as Iman is concerned, the greatest of all favors, we value, appreciate it, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for it, and continuously make dua for its preservation and protection. As mentioned, we can never be complacent about it. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied a time would come when holding on to Islam in its pure teachings will be like holding on to burning coals. And also mentioning that the attacks and challenges on Iman will be so rampant and severe. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will awake in the morning a believer, and by the evening of that day be deprived of Iman. Or even before that, go into the evening as a believer, and by the next morning would have lost that Iman. So a beautiful dua we read constantly that Allah Ta'ala Himself teaches us for the preservation and protection of Iman. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. O our sustainer and nourisher, never deviate our hearts after you have guided us, and continuously confer upon us your special mercies, for indeed you are the giver of favors in limitless abundance without our deservedness or worthiness. Also on the ni'mah of the pure teachings of Islam, and the great honor of being linked and associated to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala's most beloved. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will enjoy the highest status and position in Jannah, and make every effort to increase our muhabbat and our love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A sahabi once comes and lodges an anxiety that he has embedded in his heart that makes him uneasy, that O Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we are in your presence, we cool our eyes with your most beautiful sight and countenance because of the love we have in our hearts for you. But what worries me is that when we leave this world and we go to the hereafter, if Allah honors us with entry into Jannah, you will be of the highest status and positions, and we will never come anywhere near that. So this thought that even in Jannah, but without your company and your closeness, this is an anxiety that I have in my heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited a while, and Allah revealed the verse consoling the sahabi and those who have this similar anxiety and worry. ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. The one who obeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guaranteed to be in the company of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, of the Siddiqeen, the greatest supporters and verifiers of Anbiya alayhim as-salam, such as Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an, the pious ones and the martyrs. Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, the joy that they got from this revelation of this verse was of such a level that other verses did not bring that amount of joy, wherein they are guaranteed on account of obedience to the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One can enjoy even in Jannah the companionship, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an honor that would be. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rank is of a very high rank, so Allah will facilitate some means of some companionship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite our many weaknesses and shortcomings. May Allah Ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, grant us that honor as well. The surah we look at today, an immensely great surah, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, that is there anyone amongst you who can read 1,000 verses on a daily basis? So Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in said, that who amongst us, or who is it possible to maintain that 1,000 verses every day? Not an easy feat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, can you not recite Al-Hakum al-Takathur? In other words, that the surah in its greatness is equivalent to 1,000 verses of Quran Azim, as we shall see in its meanings. The greatness of the surah and the way it stirs our emotions tells us the purpose and the objective of our existence on earth. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated this surah to 1,000 verses of Quran Azim. The literal translation, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hakum al-Takathur, vying for worldly abundance has diverted you, has made you negligent. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until such time that you will visit the graves, or to such an extent that you even go and visit the graveyards for that purpose. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, that never should that be the case, most certainly you will soon know. And again Allah Ta'ala says, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun, again never should that be the case, with absolute certainty you shall soon know the reality. Kalla, and again emphasis three times Allah Ta'ala says that should not be the case. If only you knew with the knowledge of absolute certainty, then that would not be your conduct. In other words, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, Allah Ta'ala says you will most certainly see the blazing fire of Jahannam. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, and once again, then again most certainly you will see it with the eye of absolute certainty. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, Allah Ta'ala says, then you will most certainly be questioned on that day of Qiyamah, about all of Allah Ta'ala's favors and blessings. You will definitely be questioned about them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla at the outset tells us that the normal human nature is to be attracted to the temporary adornments of this world, an abundance of wealth, abundance of children, offspring, and you're vying in accumulating this abundance. So whether it be in wealth, in material possessions, whether it be in offspring, whether it be in family members, whether it be vying to boast against one another by means of one's clan or tribe, ethnicity. So all forms of vying for an abundance of worldly material possessions or status and honor included in there. This vying for all of these has diverted you, has made you negligent from your main objective and purpose, and that is to conduct oneself in this dunya in such a manner that it brings Allah's pleasure, and a person at the time of death is declared amongst the successful ones. That in itself will ensure a happy life in this dunya. At the same time will guarantee a person success and bliss an eternal joy. And this, Allah Ta'ala says, continues, and this is the general conduct of the normal human being, obviously, unless that person makes an effort on Iman and realizes the purpose and objective. So this vying and trying to outdo one another in an abundance, in material possessions, has diverted you, but yet you continue this pathway until such time that you will visit the graves, until such time that you will visit the graveyards. Two meanings of this verse are conveyed, that insan, human by nature, has such a profound love for wealth and its abundance and material possessions, name, fame, status and honor in this world, in material possessions and things, that remains a person's purpose and objective throughout one's life, and the only thing that will bring an end to it is death. It is when you are lowered into your grave that will satiate your passion and your desires, and that will put an abrupt end to your vying with one another for material possessions. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Shikhir radiyallahu an, he says that one day I visited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting this very same surah, Al-Hakum al-Takathur, that vying for worldly abundance has diverted you from your objective and purpose. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in elaborating and making tafsir, very important that we always understand Quran Azim in the way conveyed by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, they in turn to the latter generations. And a very dangerous trend is to merely take an English translation and start to opine from one's own side with no expertise, no qualifications to do so. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sent out a stern warning for this. Man qala fil Qur'ani bi ra'yihi falyatabawwa' ma'adahu min an-nar. That person who gives opinion regarding Quran without any sound knowledge or background understanding of it may as well book one's abode and place in the fire of Jahannam. So yes, definitely we should link ourselves, attach ourselves to Quran Azim, its tilawat, its meaning, pondering upon its meanings, but we do so from the authentic commentaries and understanding as conveyed by Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. So Abdullah bin Shikhir radiallahu anhu says, I came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was reading Al-Hakum al-Takathur. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stopped and said, elaborating, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمْ مَا لِي وَمَا لِي. A human being normally says, this is my wealth and that is my wealth, and boasts about it. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَحَلَّكَ مِن مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ. The only wealth that is really yours is that which you have eaten and done away with. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. Or that clothing that you have worn, and you have worn it out till it became torn and tattered, that which you have utilized for your own purpose and benefit, in reality that is what is yours and you have benefited from. أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Or that wealth which you have given as sadaqah in the path of Allah, and unlike the others, you have not wasted it, you have not expired it, you have actually secured it and sent it forward as your treasure, as your investment to the akhirah. But besides that, you may boast that so much wealth and so much in that account, in this account and in this investment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. Besides what you have eaten, those clothing that you have worn, those things that you have utilized of your wealth and what emanates from it, that is really yours. Anything besides that, فَذَاهِبٌ وَتَارِكُهُ لِلنَّاسِ. That will eventually go away from you, or you will depart from this dunya and you will leave it for others to utilize and take benefit from. So we learn from this elaboration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person may boast of an abundance of wealth, but in reality that belongs to a person that one has taken benefit and utilized. So Allah Ta'ala says that vying for worldly abundance has made you negligent, and this remains your attitude until you visit the graves, or until you visit the graveyard. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once elaborated in such an apt tafsir, Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala and said that it fitted so perfectly onto this verse that some of us initially thought that this tafsir and elaboration is actually part of Quran. It is only when the surah was recited in its entirety we realized that these were words of commentary by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّن ذَهَبٍ. And subhanAllah, this hadith so beautifully summarizes the purpose of this ayah, that the natural nature of a human being is such that if that human being possesses a whole valley full of gold, such an abundance of wealth, a valley full of gold, even that will not satisfy a person. لَأَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا. That person will wish and desire, why one valley? I must have two valleys of wealth and then expire oneself in acquiring that. That one whole valley of gold is not enough. I must get a second valley of gold, and this process will go on. If a second is acquired, how will I get the third and the fourth? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is the attitude, وَلَيْ يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. And it is only the dust of the grave, it is only the sand of the qabr, that will eventually fill that person's mouth and put an end to those desires. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala continuously accepts repentance from those who turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance. So this is the general nature of a human being. However, a mu'min realizes that this is not the purpose and objective of one's existence in earth. A second meaning given of this verse, that you vie in worldly abundance and try and outdo one another to such an extent that the Arabs would boast against one another, sometimes by abundance of wealth, abundance of offspring, abundance of members of a clan or tribe, that my family, my tribe has more than yours. And then they sit and count that I have so many relatives, you have less than me. And then the other person will say that, come, let us go to the graveyard and see who has more relatives buried there, you or I. That such is this desire to try and outdo one another and boast against one another in an abundance that should not be the nature of a mu'min. So we learn from here also the importance of realizing our purpose objective in this world. And one potent means, as this ayat alludes, is frequent and abundant remembrance of death. A sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, says that the sahabi once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very wise question, man akyasu an-nas wa man ahzamu an-nas. That of all people, who are the most wise and the most prudent, who have the greatest foresight? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave two criteria and mentioned two benefits that will emanate therefrom. One is, أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ. The wisest of people and those who have the greatest foresight are those who remember death most abundantly. Those who remember death the most. And secondly, prepare in practical terms most adequately for the life after death. What are the two promises of this? ذَهَبُوا بِشَرَفِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَامَةِ الْآخِرَةِ. It is those indeed and them only who are guaranteed to be the honored and noble ones in this dunya. True honor, izzah and esteem comes only through the obedience and total submission to Allah Ta'ala. So they are the ones who are truly given honor and esteem in this dunya, and they will be the nobility, the hierarchy, the VIP of the hereafter. Remembrance of death and practical preparation for the life after death. As our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and so aptly it fits into this verse, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَازِمِ اللَّذَّاتِ. Abundantly remember that thing which will be the means of cutting off all your worldly pleasures and enjoyments and fantasies. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says that kalla, that never, it should never be so that a mu'min becomes diverted from Allah, from his obedience, from the objective of this earth, from eternity of the hereafter. It should never be that these things divert you, because soon you will know the reality. And we see this verse repeated twice. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. This should never be the attitude, because soon you will know the reality. So this repetition refers to the various stages when realization will come the full circle. You will realize the folly of being diverted from your objective at the time of death, in the qabr when you are questioned, and also on the day of qiyamah. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says that never should this be the attitude. If only you know now the reality of that which is knowledge of absolute certainty, that such vying for abundance should not divert you. So if this was your attitude, then these things would never have diverted you. You would have realized that material possessions of this dunya, yes, definitely can be a ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala, giving a person a life of afiyah, that which is earned from halal, and then spending it in the noble causes, thereby securing its benefits in the hereafter. But definitely not to have that desire and passion and hankering for it, that diverts one from Allah's obedience, take one into sin, into haram, into the disobediences of Allah, makes one negligent of the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you only knew now with the knowledge of absolute certainty that is definite truth, then this would not have been your attitude, these things would not have diverted you. Allah Ta'ala says, because reality is, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, there will be an akhirah. You will see most certainly, Allah says with emphasis and stress, you will definitely see the blazing fire of Jahannam in front of your eyes. The mu'mineen will also see it, but they will be given security and sanctity, entered into Jannah with afiyat. The disbelievers, the unsuccessful ones, would be flung into that blazing fire. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, to emphasize that you will most certainly, you will definitely see the blazing fire of Jahannam with the eye of absolute certainty, with such yaqeen that comes about by physical observation. You will definitely see it in front of your eyes. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, a person in the Akhirah will see the blazing fire of Jahannam in front of one's eyes. اتَّقِ النَّارُ وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَ, that save yourselves, make an effort to save yourselves from that fire of Jahannam while you have the chance. Even if you have not one date, you have half, you have a piece of a date, then give that away as sadaqah in making an effort to save yourself from that fire of Jahannam. And lastly, Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, you will most certainly, you will definitely be questioned on that day, day of Qiyamah, about all the favors of Allah Ta'ala that you enjoyed. This verse is so all-encompassing, tells us that we will be questioned about the ni'mas and the favors of Allah, about food Allah has given to sustain us, about fresh, sweet water that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, about safety and security that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, clothing that covers a person's body and protects and beautifies a person, the comfortable homes that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, our halal rizq and sustenance Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the many dini infrastructures Allah has given to us, and ever more so we realize the value of those masjid, the madrasa. And let it be that in this condition of lockdown, that every salah time we perform salah at home, obviously under these conditions, within the framework of the law, but at every salah time there should be this desire, this burning desire, this yearning. Let us try and shed tears and make dua that Ya Allah, give us the honor and opportunity of being honored as visitors to your sacred house, the masjid. Let it not be that because of our deficiency in fulfilling the haqq and the right of the house of Allah Ta'ala, that we become deprived istighfar and tawbah of our shortcomings, but begging Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, give us that great honor of being the visitors to your house, Ya Allah. So we will ask about these favors. Similarly, the cars that we possess, the phone that Allah has given to us, that is a means of so many guna and sin and so many homes breaking up. So all of these, you will be questioned about these favors that Allah has given, bodily strength, the various faculties that we enjoy, sight, hearing, smell, taste, our fingers, our hands. About all of these favors, we will be questioned. That these were Allah's given favors. Did you show gratitude to Allah for these favors? In what did you channel them? Did you channel these given favors of Allah in His obedience, or was it rather abused in Allah Ta'ala's disobedience? Our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that on the day of Qiyamah, when we are brought back to life, on the place, on the very spot we are brought back to life, we will be already asked five questions. So early questioning before the major detailed questioning. One is, an umrihi fima afna, about our entire lives. In what did you expire? What pursuits did you spend your life in? Every moment in our life, there will be question about it. An shababihi fima abla, specifically the very precious stage of life, your youthful years, your energy, your spirit of youth. In what did you expire those possessions? That youngster, that youth who is nurtured in Allah's obedience, in the company of the salihin, expired one's prowess and power and energy in Allah's obedience, will be given the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne on that day. Similarly, the question number 3 and 4 pertaining to wealth. Number 3, عَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اكْتَسَبُ, specific question, that the wealth that you had in your possession, how did you earn? Were the means of earning halal, or was it unlawful? The fourth question about wealth, that in what things did you spend that wealth? Were they spent in halal or spent in haram? Very important point to note here, that many a times we are advised that Allah has given you such an abundance, do not squander it in haram. Do not squander hundreds of thousands of rands in such activities that is of no benefit to you, to humanity, to the ummah. And then our response is, it's my money, I can do what I want with it. This is an amanah, it is a trust. Allah has put it in our care, and there will be a specific question as to how we had spent our wealth. And lastly, and also on this point once again, and a plea that we donate as generously as possible the collection that is taking place for necessities that would be taken to the underprivileged communities. We know severe diety of poverty in our country, so a great means of drawing the mercy of Allah, cooling the anger of Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah, we try and contribute as generously as possible. By this evening, inshallah, that collection will close up. So let us take this chance, inshallah, of trying to spend as generously as possible. The last question will be asked by Allah Ta'ala on that day, as soon as we are brought back to life, will be an ilmihi fima amila bih. The knowledge of deen Allah has given to us. To what extent did you put to practice? How much amal, how much practice did you make? You knew many things. You knew these were the injunctions of Allah. These were the commandments, the ordainments. These were the prohibitions. These were the haram things. To what extent did you practice? To what extent did you refrain and stay away from haram? Now regarding this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, or similar words to it. In one incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came out of home at an unusual time when people would not leave the home. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of the home and found Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, had also come out at that unusual time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, that what has brought you out of your homes at this unusual hour? They replied, one word, al-ju', severe hunger. Subhanallah, look at the sacrifices of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and the very home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would have probably, whatever meager means had, given it to their families, and they themselves had nothing to eat. The hunger was so severe that they were compelled to come out of the homes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, wallah, I have come out for the same purpose, severe hunger. They went to the home of an Ansari. When they reached his home, may Allah reward the Ansar for the great sacrifices they did to Islam. They were the perfect hosts chosen by Allah Ta'ala. So when they arrive at the home of this Ansari, his family mentions that he is not at home at present. He's gone to draw fresh water for us. But they welcomed and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, to remain there, the honor of hospitality within the framework, within the means of hijab, etc. Just after that, this sahabi, this Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, comes home. And when he sees the scene, alhamdulillah, he is elated. Joy cannot be expressed in words when he says, all praises be to Allah, ma ahadun akrama minni al-yawma adiyafan, that today in the whole of Medina, there is nobody more noble than me as far as guests are concerned. I am the most esteemed person in Medina, Munawwara, for I have the most noble guests at my home today. So he immediately starts to show hospitality to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhuma. The sweet water that he had brought, he presents that. He brings from his orchard varying types of dates, fresh ones, those that are a little dry, those that are even more dry, presents all of those types to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhuma, and then takes a knife and goes to slaughter a goat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises him, iyyaka wal halub, ensure that you do not cut that goat that is the milk giving goat, keep that for the purposes of your milk. He slaughters a goat, prepares it, presents it as a meal to these great guests that he have in his home. So they had eaten to their fill, they ate of those dates, they ate of the goat that was prepared, they had drank fresh water. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhuma, that these are the very favors that you will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. These are the favors you will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. You left your home in severe poverty, in severe hunger, and Allah Ta'ala has removed that hunger by this that we have been given by the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala an. These are the questions we will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to channel Allah Ta'ala's given favors in His obedience. Just to reconcile, repeat the translation of the surah once again. Al-haakum al-takathur, that vying for worldly abundance in material possessions has diverted you from Allah's obedience, from your purpose, your objective. And this remains your state until such time that even death will come to you. You will be placed into your grave. That will put an end to these desires. Or you vie and boast against one another in an abundant soma, so that you even go to the graveyards and count the number of dead of each clan. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun. That never should this be the attitude. Soon you will know reality. At the time of death, when you are placed into your qabr, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. That once again emphasis, this should never be the attitude. Soon you will know reality in the qabr on the day of qiyamah. Kalla law ta'lamuna ilma al-yaqeen. Allah once again says that never should this be the attitude. If only you know now with the knowledge of absolute certainty, then this will not be your attitude. Vying for unworldly abundance will not divert you from Allah and His obedience in the akhirat. Latarawunna al-jaheem. You will most certainly see the blazing fire of Jahannam in front of your eyes. Thumma latarawunnaha ayna al-yaqeen. And then once again you will definitely see it with the eye of absolute certainty. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And on that day, day of Qiyamah, when you are brought back to life, you will certainly be questioned about all of Allah Ta'ala's favors. You will be questioned in the court of Allah, of all of Allah Azza wa Jalla's favors. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to take lesson, to benefit from the ayat and the verses of Quran Azim, to translate into practice. Going on to the second portion, keeping it very short. نقل السهيلي في دلائل النبوة عن بعض الصحابة أنه حفر قبرا في موطن فانتفح الطاقة فإذا شخص على سرير وبين يديه مصحف يقرأ فيه وأمامه روضة خضراء إلى آخر الرواية. Now yesterday we had looked at that after a person dies, sometimes those actions that a person had affinity with and love for in this dunya, Allah gives him that honor in later times. For example, a mu'min will be given a mushaf, a Quran from which to read. That person who had profound love for Quran. Let us remember these stories that mention Salah or Quran in the grave, etc. This is not as a means of ibadah or a command of Allah. This is taladdudan. This is that which they had natural love and enjoyment, the real love and enjoyment. Our beloved, respected Ustaz Sayyidina Hafiz Abdurrahman Rahimullah Ta'ala would say that I beg and I hope that Allah forgives me. But he says, what a desire it would be to have the honor of reading and teaching Quran even in the qabr. So these are very special servants of Allah. So those things that they had natural love and affinity for, Allah Ta'ala knows the sincerity of hearts. Allah will give them that honor. As we see in this narration, Suhaili stated in the Kitab Dalailun Nubuwa, it is reported that some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, on one occasion, when a grave was dug, incidentally there was another grave next to it, they were unaware of it. So during the digging, a portion of the next door grave was opened. They saw a man in that grave next door, sitting with a Quran in his hand from which he was reciting, and in front of him was a green garden. This incident took place in the vicinity of Uhud. It became clear that this person was one of the shuhada, one of the martyrs of Uhud, because he also had a wound on his face. So we see Allah honoring that person must have had profound love for Quran, that Allah gave him that honor even after death. Sayyidina Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says in the next narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites the Quran and passes away before memorizing it in its entirety, an angel will come to that person in the grave and teach him the Quran in the grave. He will then meet Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah as if a person who had memorized, who had completed his hifz of Quran. So we can do it, alhamdulillah, in our hifz class. We have a number of adults. We had a brother who commenced his hifz at the age of 45, took 9 years, with a very taxing job and family responsibilities, but mashallah, has completed the Quran Azim. Allah reward him abundantly, his family abundantly, for the sacrifices that it made. So there are no limits when we try and make an effort for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. We learn from this narration that that person who embarks on doing hifz of Quran and ends up dying before completing it, the malaika, the angels, assist that person in the qabr to complete, and that person is raised as a hafiz on the day of Qiyamah. The narration thereafter, Sayyidina Qais bin Qubaysa radiallahu ta'ala an says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who dies without making a wasiyah, a will and testament, we should try and leave behind a will and a testament in accordance with the laws of Shariat. So a person who dies without doing so will not be allowed to talk to those who have already died, his ruh, in the hereafter. It was asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do the deceased converse amongst themselves? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, yes, they do converse, they even visit one another. So those arwah that had passed away on iman, Allah's obedience, will have meetings in the hereafter as ones who had loved each other for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. The narration thereafter by our most respected mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who visits another Muslim's grave and sits at that grave, maybe reading, making dua for that person, the dead person will become attached to the visitor and will reply to the salam of that person who had come to the qabr and made salam. The inmate of that qabr, the ruh, will reply until that person gets up and leaves. In the further narration, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Sayyidina Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any person passes the grave of a mu'min whom he knew in this world and makes salam and makes dua, isale thawab, etc. for that person, the deceased person will recognize him and reply to his salam. The deceased person will reply to that salam. This is the affinity and the connection. So we make the habit whenever we visit Qabristan, obviously we make salam. As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur, one of the masnoon du'as when entering. We make du'a to the inmates of the qabr, and we learn from these narrations that that link and attachment, the bond of iman is there, that they actually respond. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq to take benefit, to have this yearning and desire for the hereafter, that is, as the name of this kitab says, shawqi watan, the desire of the original home and abode of a believer, which is the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.